If it feels like a long time since our federal government has asked you what you think about private health insurance, that's because it is, like maybe never in your lifetime. We all have until early December to make our feelings known in an online survey that forms part of the Turnbull government's evaluation of private health insurance and the role it's playing in delivering best bang for buck alongside our public health system under Medicare. But are we asking the right questions to deliver the answers we need? To help tease some of this out, Ian McCauley lectures in public sector finance at the University of Canberra. And Ian, I know you've written on this topic now for a few years. Just remind us, private health insurance was always designed, was it not, to take the pressure off the public health system. Has it done that?
No, it hasn't. That was one of the claims about private health insurance, but it really hasn't, because where the people go, so do the surgeons go. So anyone, say, needing a hip replacement would know that you can get it faster in a private hospital through private health insurance than you can in a public hospital. But what happens when you do that, of course, is that the queue in the public hospital just gets pushed down one more. In other words, it's about subsidised queue jumping when there is a genuinely a shortage of people such as surgeons and the various other people who support them in operating theatre. So, no, it has not taken pressure off public hospitals, and there's no way it ever would unless we were in the situation of having a huge oversupply of surgeons and anaesthetists, and that doesn't look like happening in the near future.
So because we have a finite skills base in terms of the practitioners we desire between the public and private systems, we're always going to be robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, if people are coming to private hospitals, then the surgeons and anaesthetists and others will go to the private hospitals, and that's put a strain on the public hospitals, which is why, you know, waiting lists are still the problem.
Yeah.
And we are trapped to a certain extent because private hospitals have linked themselves to private health insurance, whereas what we should see ideally is that private hospitals should be providing services for Medicare patients just the way as some of your fine public hospitals do, such as, you know, the Royal Adelaide and the Alfred and those other very good hospitals.
Ian, do you sense that amongst the wider electorate that despite uptake of private health insurance, I think hovering around about, I think, is it 11 million policy holders these days, something around there?
It is, just over 11 million.
Yeah, so that despite that take-up, is it because we have clarity about what those services provide, or is it because we feel compelled to by a government that promised to penalise us if we didn't?
Look, it's very much the latter. Yes, a couple of things, what they call lifetime community rating, whereby premiums rise every year by 2% if you don't take it out from the age of 30. And, of course, the other thing which is affecting a lot of people is what's called the Medicare levy surcharge, where you get a tax surcharge if you have high income or not a particularly high income and you do not take out private health insurance. So, and I suppose the third factor is that a lot of people just think, oh, well, I should have it, because they don't really realise that our public hospitals really do deliver a good service and that you don't really need this. But a lot of people have the impression that unless they've got private health insurance, they'll get knocked back when they need it.
But isn't it fair to say that the elective surgery waiting lists in some parts of the country are exorbitantly long, and if you do want to get that hip done or that knee joint, then the best way to get quickly seen to is through private health?
Oh, yes, of course it is. And, of course, you know, I remember a caller on a show not unlike yours. I'd been the academic discussant, and this caller said, look, she said, I'm from Tasmore, which is a leafy suburb of Adelaide, and I've got private health insurance, and I wanted some elective surgery done, and it got me straight to the front of the queue. I think everyone should have it. And, of course, you know, we can't all get to the front of the queue, and I think most Australians would say that queue should be allocated on the basis of our therapeutic needs and not on whether we can afford or have been cajoled into private insurance or not.
I think that that's called triage, isn't it, Ian?
It is indeed. The triage, those who can afford and those who have to wait. And unfortunately, when those who can afford, given priority, those have to wait a bit longer.
So if we're going to go forward by asking the real questions, as the federal government wants to appear at least to be doing, are they, do you think, asking the right questions when it comes to the validity of private health as a sector within our health system? Are they asking those questions right now?
I don't think they are. I mean, I'd say of Minister Lee, good on her for responding to consumer complaints about private health insurance, but I still think she needs to be asking much broader questions. What's happened over the last 50 years is that, in fact, it was 46 years ago that we last had any inquiry into the economic value of private health insurance. Since then, there have been three inquiries, this being the third one, two under coalition governments, one under Labour, which said, how do we support private health insurance, not whether it should be supported. And, you know, this one is just, you know, how do we make this thing better when really by all the incentives in the system, by the clash of commercial and public policy incentives, it's very doubtful if it can ever be made better. No country has really succeeded in using private health insurance to provide effective and equitable health care.
Well, at the moment, of course, every time we sign up for private health, the federal government comes to help us out by offering us a 30% rebate on the premiums we pay. Isn't that good value for money?
Oh, all it is for the individual, but you've got to ask collectively, is it good for us as taxpayers? And would we not be better off, rather than paying, say $1,000 to a health fund, paying about $850 more taxes? And that is the sort of difference, because around about the health funds only return around about 85 cents in the dollar, whereas Medicare returns around 95, 96 cents in the dollar to health care. So, you know, it doesn't make any sense to save a dollar in taxes and have to pay $1.10 in a private mechanism like private health insurance.
But with so much of our national policy being driven by economics, if those are the economics of health, private health versus public health, why haven't successive governments been addressing this up until now?
Well, I think you're dealing with a very strong and powerful lobby in private health insurance. It has a certain it has a certain appeal. We all want insurance. And while there's a lot of publicity about waiting lists, to the individual, the idea of getting to the front of the queue sounds very attractive. So they've got a, you know, they've got a ready-made source of demand there. And unfortunately, I would say that, you know, some politicians, and I would name Graham Richardson from the Labour Party, Tony Abbott famously said, there's no point in looking at private health insurance. It's in our DNA. We must have it. It's never been subject to the same sort of scrutiny, say, that our clothing and automobile industry has been subject to. It's just been assumed we should have it. And, you know, of course, a lot of people would have said, hey, we should support the automobile industry. But it's always worthwhile looking to see when governments are supporting industries, having a body like the Productivity Commission, go and ask, does this thing really deliver value for money? And what we're seeing in private health insurance is really a rather large financial intermediary, simply taking a bit of money out of our healthcare resources and doing at a fairly high cost what the tax system and Medicare can do much better.
So would you be, from your perspective, be advocating for a renationalisation of our health system?
Not of the whole health system. I mean, we've got a very good private hospital system, but of the health funding system, at least to the extent that we want to be covered by insurance. In other words, the health insurance system. There's often the scare campaign that if we don't have a private health insurance, we'll have some sort of a cold tile, Eastern European style, Soviet waiting, nationalised health service, etc. But no, we've got good public hospitals and they should be part of the game too. But it's the funding of healthcare that is best left to a combination of a single government insurer and, of course, some out-of-pocket costs so that people are paying a little bit from their own pockets when they can afford to. I've got no objection to co-payments. I think they're very good. They send a signal. But, of course, a lot of private insurance actually provides what's called first dollar cover. There's no co-payment, so they don't even serve the function of providing market signals.
And I think one of the often the public responses to their disillusionment over private health is that they thought they were paying enough premium in what is a very confusing range of policies to cover them when they enter either some kind of extras cover or a hospital room, and they discover to their dismay, in fact, that they've got this quite substantial gap to cover plus the premium.
Sure. Look, it is very hard to navigate your way around the offerings of private health insurance. I mean, for instance, how many of your listeners, and perhaps quite a few do, but I'll bet not many men know the difference between obstetrics and gynaecology. And, you know, there are quite a few fine prints which says they'll cover one and not the other, for instance. Mm.
Yeah, well, I don't think I need obstetrics.
I don't think so. Or gynaecology.
Maybe. I hope not. No.
you still have these exclusions. People think because I've been contributing so long, I should be getting something back. We get conditioned to that in areas where insurance does work well, like automobile insurance. We have no claim bonuses, and you know, you've been a good driver for 30 years, and you get a with no claims, you get a cheap premium. That's fine. That works in that industry. It does not work in healthcare. If we move to that sort of situation, we'd be where the Americans are, which is essentially finding that if you're 25 and star athlete and have good DNA and good prospects, you get health insurance. If you're age 60 and have a chronic condition, no one wants to look at you. And we cannot go to what is called risk grading in health insurance.
And do you sense that that is certainly on the cards? Because it's certainly been forming part of the discussion with this online survey.
I think it's a valid question to ask in the survey, and it's certainly the question that has attracted a lot of media attention. I'll be very interested to see that question, because I'd like to see it in a broader context than health insurance. I'd like to see a Prime Minister such as Turnbull, who does want to open up public ideas, start asking people, well, when it comes to things like healthcare, what should be the principles that guide how much government should pay, how much personal responsibility should take account of, how much lifestyle should take account? Mm. I think those are very valid questions, but they should not be asked simply in the narrow context of private health insurance.
Ian, thank you so much for taking the time. It's been great to talk to you.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Ian McCauley, who's a lecturer in public sector finance at the University of Canberra. His most recent article on this, and he's written quite a few times on the issue of whether we're getting the right bang for buck when it comes to private health insurance in Australia, is on the Conversation website. I'll put that link up for you later today here on RN Afternoons.